Hey everyone, this is Julian, and you're listening to the Clear Cash Podcast, the first episode of 2018, back from Christmas vacation. We're living in the future. The future is now.
Yeah, dude. It's the future as of yesterday.
The future is always happening is my motto.
I've got the ticket to ride, and I'm off at the next stop.
That's a Beatles song, present. Right?
Ticket to ride?
Yeah. Well, it was about them waiting on the future train.
That song is called "The Future" (parentheses Ticket to Ride).
Ticket to Ride.
Yeah.
Oh man, 2018. This is truly the year of the future. We're reaching our fruition as a human species.
We were discovering that we're awful monsters.
Yes. Truly, the mirror has been held high. This year, so far,
more than I didn't look into a mirror until today.
First mirror experience, 2018.
Awful! It was terrible. I hated it.
You shattered it with your fists.
Yeah, I did.
Figured out that Prey is a great game, which we talked a little bit about.
I also figured that out.
Yeah, well, you actually turned me back onto it because I it was such a good game for me that I bought it and forgot that I bought it. And it was sitting in my Xbox digital downloads area, untouched. Digital dust covering it.
The worst kind.
The worst kind.
So suffering from bit rot.
But you turned me back on. I've been playing. Enjoyed it. Good game. Great game. Future game.
Dude. Future game. I'm loving Prey. I just picked it up recently, and I started playing it about a month ago, and fuck, dude, I can't get enough. I know I love those Deus Ex games, the System Shock games, best of its kind so far.
Also falls within future game genre, the genre I just made up. Future game
takes place in the future.
Yes,
well, an alternate future.
We are talking about futurism as a baseline and what we get from that.
So I thought about it recently because I watch Black Mirror, like anybody with a Netflix subscription probably does at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically like that show. And it gets a lot of flack for being very cynical about the way that technology in the future will integrate into and effectively ruin our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then we watched Minority Report, which is based on a Philip K. Dick story, and the way that it approaches future technology is a bit different, although cynical, not quite as heavy in pointing blame.
Right.
And I know that you are, or at least were, a big Philip K. Dick fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get your thoughts on how he approaches the future versus how, you know, other current futurist writers do.
Right. So, yeah, I did go through a PKD phase where for a few years I was reading his books back to back. I collected a bunch. And was very interested in him as a person, as well as the work he's done. I found that his writing was very frenetic at times and interesting because his ideas of what the future would be like or what potential future Earth and inhabitants, our human race, would go down towards. Was often bleak or comical and cynical, I think, in a lot of cases, too, as you mentioned with Black Mirror. I think one of the major differences, though, with K. Dick is that he was writing from a time when the idea of the future was still coming out of that, like, retrofuturism, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone thought we would have flying cars by the 2000s and we would have, you know, like if you imagine what Disney's version of what the future would be like, you know, when you go to the world of tomorrow and you see the model homes full of all the, like, the weird gadgets that immediately, like, deliver you a fresh slice of cherry pie, you know, it's like very Jetsons. It's like, right, that technology and that idea, but muddied with drugs and sex and weird, like, beat generation ideas.
Degeneracy.
Yeah, degeneracy. A lot of his work has a heavy influence from drug culture, and a lot of his work contains major plot beats that involve the use of hallucinogenic drugs or things like the degeneracy of sex and things like that. In particular, there's one of his works is called Now Wait for Last Year, and it was one of the more memorable ones for me. It involves a main character who is kind of like a double agent working in between two warring factions, two warring species, one that's human-like and one that's alien-like. And the major plot beat is that he starts taking this drug called, like, JJ-180 or something, that's a hallucinogenic drug similar to LSD, but it allows him to travel through time, sort of. Mm-hmm. And that concept there, it says a lot just about, like, what he imagines as a writer, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously he himself was someone who did a lot of LSD and kind of fried his brain a bit. From what I've read about him, he was kind of I think he had some mental health issues already, and compounding that with years of psychoactive drug abuse led him into, like, a very intense psychosis in parts of his life. Mm-hmm. So a lot of his work was inspired and derivative of that. Honestly, I think a lot of Black Mirror is very, like, hallucinogenic too, and hallucinogenic in the way that, like, it could be dreamed out of a drug stupor, you know. It's like those thinking, like, when you see one of those episodes, sometimes it feels like what you would think of if you were under the influence of a psychoactive drug, and you're, like, thinking about things on a maybe a higher plane of thinking, you know. Right. When you, like, look inward at your technology and you really think about it, like, especially the episode with Bryce Dallas Howard where it's all about social media.
Right.
And you got to get your likes up or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
I did, yeah. It's called, I don't remember the name. But yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. So, for me, I haven't seen a ton of Black Mirror. I've probably seen 5 or 6 episodes throughout, and I think they've done, like, what, 4 seasons so far?
Yes.
And what have you enjoyed about it so far?
Well, Black Mirror is openly a tribute to shows like Twilight Zone,
mm-hmm.
Or Outer Limits, that are meant to explore, like, you know, bleak possibilities, and they set up typically negative scenarios, and the theme throughout is the use or abuse of technology, either in orchestrating these scenarios or culminating in these scenarios because of its overuse, or putting too much trust in it. And I feel that the message is generally the same, whereas what you're describing is a bit different. I'm familiar with authors like the Philip K. Dick that you describe, in that I've read, like, Robert Anton Wilson, who is an infamous author from the 60s and 70s, who wrote a series called the Illuminatus Trilogy.
Yes. Those are tomes, right?
The Illuminous trilogy itself is a tome. Yeah, the book themselves are not that long, but they're incredibly dense and just stuffed with conspiracy shit.
Yeah.
And tons of drugs and tons of sex within the book, in addition to being written by a man who openly speaks about the benefits of hallucinogens while writing for Playboy magazine. He was a buddy of like the Beat Generation that you described. I think he was actually a friend of famous, I can't remember his fucking name either. Mm-hmm. Anyway, major fixture of that scene. And what you're describing sounds more like futurism as a setting for the present that he experienced. Whereas I feel like Black Mirror is more doom and gloom about technology than...
Yeah, you know, I can see, like, there's obvious comparison in terms of, I mean, Philip K. Dick, most of his work is set in a future that is far beyond what the world he was in. And I think that you're right, that a lot of the themes of his work dealt with themes that could have been placed in present time, but just happened so to take place in a faraway, distant future or world that contained creatures or people or technology that was far beyond the present day technology. And honestly, I think that a lot of his stuff, that it wasn't the focus, the technology, or necessarily mm-hmm. how people used it. It was, a lot of his work was about the connection between people and the way that they reacted to each other when faced with, when they were at odds with each other, or when they were under the influence of drugs or things of that nature. So yeah,
I think that's interesting, because a lot of authors of that era, Aldous Huxley, P.K. Dick, Robert Anton Wilson, saw hallucinogens and drugs as what they believed would be the future means of escapism from, you know, the sorrows and plight of the future that they saw as being a heightened version of the present, effectively. And now that we're in that future, we are seeing that technology is equally capable of providing those escapes in ways that it was unlikely that somebody would foresee technology supplanting drugs in offering similar experiences. So like drugs as a means of escape versus technology as a means of escape, I think there's something there that speaks to the era of those authors that separates them in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also like lends like a sense of mysticism to that fiction that technology, you know, can't offer.
Right, right.
Yeah, at its core.
Yeah, I mean, it's for sure, you're right. I mean, obviously from the era that those authors were writing and Philip K. Dick was writing, they didn't rely, like, there was no escape in technology other than their black and white TV set, which provided probably a little bit of escape, but not much when the TV would turn off at 8 p.m. and there was nothing left. Mm-hmm. And so they would just, you know, drop a few tabs under the tongue and then watch the TV in the sky. You know what I mean?
Yeah, baby. So one of my favorite comic authors is, and authors in general, is Warren Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote Transmetropolitan, and he wrote a series called Wildstorm, and another series called Planetary.
Mm-hmm.
just, I think he's one of the most fantastic and realistic futurists that I'm aware of. I'm sure he would say otherwise, but he has the tendency to continue to connect mysticism and technology in his visions of the future in a way that is similar to authors of the past, while remaining cognizant of like realistic technological possibilities. In both Wildstorm and Planetary, there exists this notion of the space between multiverses. So, you know, most science fiction, futuristic fiction, tends to allude to, not most, but a lot of it tends to allude to the concept of the multiverse, which is not uncommon now. And he does too. And he also suggests that there is this space between multiverses called in his fiction, called the Bleed. And in Wildstorm, it's accessed through teleportation. And in Planetary, it's accessed through drugs in some cases. And I find that interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's now more possible to write clever fiction that alludes to our current understanding of science without pulling back from mysticism, because our current understanding of science kind of lends itself to mysticism in a way that it didn't used to. You know, like quantum mechanics, for example, the notion that something isn't there until you look at it. The fact that, or not that the fact, but the understanding that our consciousness has an effect on reality. Like, that's fascinating. And
see, this is the kind of shit that like a Beat Generation author would think about. And just,
well, he would just eat it up, or he or she would just eat it up, man. They would, like, if they were aware that this is the direction that science would ultimately go in, it would fucking blow their minds.
Yeah. It would probably literally blow their mind. I think it would put them in a catatonic state.
Yeah, dude.
Like, if you set William Burroughs in front of an Xbox and he's like, hey, play an hour of Prey, dude, they'd fucking lose it.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. As to like the realism in science fiction, I think that one of the more prescient notions of the future that I've seen recently is Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
It's a boring future in which, yeah, like there are like places in space that you can live, and like lots of people are there. And maybe we're, you know, going to different planets and stuff, big deal. Because, like, P.K. Dick would predict, and many science fiction authors would predict, we do live in a corporatocracy that is run by major corporations that exist right now that are continuing to grow until they become our government, effectively. And this is not, like, a new notion, but the way that Tacoma envisions it, in which you grow within a corporation, you go to that corporation's college, if you continue to work for that corporation, you can get points of loyalty that can grant you access to better retirement benefits under that corporation's tutelage.
Yeah, it's soft servitude.
Yeah, it's just so shitty to envision, but so much more possible than the corporatocracies that are envisioned in maybe games like Syndicate, for example, in which corporations are the government. They're having you go out and kill other people from other corporations. It's like, that's rad, but like, no, I think it's going to be much lamer than that.
Yeah. It's going to be the ultimate lameness. So you, circling back, you had a viewing of some Black Mirror eps, and you watched Minority Report, which is based off a Philip K. Dick short story.
Right.
They've adapted a few of Philip K. Dick's works, the most famous being Blade Runner, which... And the original titles of some of these are so much fucking better, I think. Yeah. I mean, Blade Runner's original title as a short story was Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
That's tight.
Fantastic. Total Recall, which has been remade twice.
Right.
The original title is We Can Remember It For You Wholesale.
That's right, yeah. It's
fucking rad, dude. I know, obviously, that would never be the movie title, but We Can Remember It For You Wholesale is genius.
It's rad.
And the Total Recall movies are very different from the books.
I didn't see the second one.
It's not worth it. Colin Farrell. They had a really weird ending. I mean, not weird, but like, it's a completely different story. It had almost no... the connection to the original Philip K. Dick work was just as distanced as the Arnold Schwarzenegger one. The Schwarzenegger one's great, though. That's a great movie.
Yeah, that movie's tight.
Yes, on record. So, in terms of futurism, which is the main topic, is there some form of media that you realized was future? Like, the notion of futurism comes from the 1920s. Like, that word is from a artistic and social movement in Italy in the 1920s. Right. And the meaning for it now, that word, is taking possibilities from the future and thinking about it now. I mean, that's at its very like base level what that is. So in terms of video games, we have things like Fallout, retrofuturism, a future where it's advanced but destroyed by nuclear war, but also has very futuristic items and weapons, but still maintaining a design and setting of the 50s, like what the 50s viewed as what the future was. That's like retrofuturism.
Right.
And that's a very popular form of futurism, quote unquote. We've seen that beyond Fallout. We've also seen that in games like BioShock is kind of like light futurism.
Yeah, totally.
So it's been used a lot. And then, I mean, since video games have been around and media has been around, there's been all kinds of stuff that's just set in the future and dreamt of what a future could be for us as humans. Mm-hmm. Is there something, a type? I mean, Black Mirror, as we've discussed, is like bleak and divisive and critical of the path that we could end up going down in terms of our obsession with technology and how it affects us as humans. Mm-hmm. Is there a certain genre of futurism that you're more attracted to than others? I mean, do you enjoy watching the back-to-back bleak episodes of Black Mirror that's very critical and damaging?
I don't have like a very strong reaction to bleakness in media, save for like Harmony Korine status blankness of like everybody in the movie Kids ends up with AIDS and shit like that. Like, but like this notion of the future sucking, that doesn't really like wreck me in the way that it seems to wreck others. I'm fascinated by the concepts that futurism allows for the creation of. I think that's clever. Sometimes I think the exploration of those concepts is not like wholly satisfying, but sometimes the concepts alone are interesting enough to warrant the product itself. Like the first episode of the new season is about a developer who creates this incredible, like, massively multiplayer software of like a space simulation, and it's very popular. And you plug into it, and you just go into a catatonic state and you're in the game. And it's very realistic. Everyone loves it. And the developer has secretly been using like a test build to clone people he doesn't like, put them into the game, and then torture them by making them play his scenarios out repeatedly without them being able to escape or die, and them being aware that they are now trapped in his game, which itself is essentially a retelling of a short story called I Have No Mouth But I Must Scream, about the future in which this AI has annihilated all of humanity except for like five people, and they're all this AI's playthings, kept alive and psychologically tortured for its enjoyment, effectively, over the course of many years.
Holy shit, that sounds fucking awful.
Yeah, no, it's a terrifying story, and it's very bleak. And Black Mirror has made the protagonist into a human, or not the protagonist, the antagonist into a human, and gives it a positive ending, ironically, because Black Mirror typically has very negative endings. Like, couldn't even stomach the negative ending of the story on which this episode is based.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Black Mirror wants to point the finger at people who like technology too much.
Yeah, too absolutely.
Often. It wants to say, like, don't trust this stuff too much. It's your fault if something happens. And I think in turning the antagonist into a human in that story, I think it's trying to find fault in people in a way that the short story still does, but it's not as immediately clear that it's a person's fault that this is the eventual outcome of these things.
Right.
Like the threat of AI is something that we are aware of now, you know?
Well, Elon Musk is harping on about it all the time.
Exactly. Like, Elon Musk, a public figure who has no like real credentials on which to found his opinions.
Yeah.
By the way, is reminding us all the time, rightly so, I think, that AI is something to be concerned about. And I don't know. I can't really articulate what it is that I find the short story of the AI itself torturing people more menacing than the person torturing people, because a person is defeatable, and I think that's why they used a person in the shorts in the episode version, because the episode ends on a positive note, and whereas the short story does not. These people are trapped. Black Mirror is dark, but it's not that dark. I think that it always alludes to a possibility that we can like avoid this if we want to.
Right. I mean, well, and the very title of the show, Black Mirror. It's a mirror, a dark mirror to society's.
is that what it means?
Yes,
that's what it means.
Each of the directors from each episode has come out and said, okay, Black Mirror, it's like a mirror, but it's dark, and we're holding it up to society, okay, and it's dark, okay, it's a dark mirror. It's a black mirror.
Okay, Charlie Brooker is like, it's a dark mirror, okay, it's a black, it's black, it's dark, it's a dark one, all right? He's great, by the way. I love Charlie Brooker.
Who is that? I'm not sure if I know who that is.
Oh, he's the creator of Black Mirror, and he has he's most famous for his series called Screen Wipe, or okay. uh, Yeah, where in which he does these like wild recaps of what happened on TV basically in the UK, and he's extremely articulate and very fast. He speaks very fast. Mm-hmm. He did a really great series called How TV Ruins Your Life, I believe is the name of it, in which he explores the way that shows, or the way that shows make you scared, or the way that they make you hopeful unreasonably, or things like that. And
he's just kind of oversees the whole project. He's not involved with every episode, is he?
He writes most episodes.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's directed a few too.
That's cool. I was unaware of that. I thought that each episode, it was one of those things where each episode was a different director, a different writer.
That started, it started in the first season, because the second episode is written by the one of the guys from Peep Show. But he's generally written most episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's fully handed off the reins to people a few times, or many times. You asked me what kind of science fiction I like.
Mm-hmm.
I like science fiction that is a platform for like mind-bending shit, like conspiracies. I love conspiracies.
Right.
I like aliens a lot.
Okay.
Big I also alien like fan. Oh yeah, love aliens, love those dudes. And I also like fucking wild shit. Like, you and I saw this movie. I don't think anybody else has fucking seen this movie, about this guy who who, like, what, help me out here. It's the movie with Ethan Hawke.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's
he like meets this woman.
Yeah, God, what is that movie called? It's a one-word title.
It's like conception or something like that.
Yeah.
Preconception, something like that.
Precognition, interception. Yeah, that's a good movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, that movie's fucking rad. And it's he basically travels back in time to stop himself from doing something.
Yeah, he travels. So, yeah, he ends up, but it remember, it turns out that he's the terrorist all along, remember?
Yeah. I love that shit.
Yeah.
And like, and on top of it, like, isn't he his own dad or something like that?
Yeah. He's his own father.
Oh man. Okay. That's the kind of shit that I love.
Okay.
That's that shit I like, dude. I want sci-fi to tell me, like, I'm my own dad, or, like, I'm an alien, or some shit like that.
I like that shit, too. I mean, I think that's why, I don't think there is a Philip K. Dick story in which someone found out that they were their own dad, but I really liked all the stuff that involved, like, the chaos of future life, you know, and, like, that involved all kinds of crazy shit. Drugs and space hookers, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.